It's time for Fox's top college football analyst.
Platt with a play action, going to go long, and he's got a man there. Touchdown, Colorado!
The inside story on college football without the SEC homerism.
I'm going to get it, like a bull in a china shop.
This is Fridays with Klatt, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Can you find out if Dalton Ferguson was named after Dalton from Roadhouse?
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Thanks, Joel.
Sorry.
Appreciate you.
Brought to you on the Fan by 808, the Titan of Hawaiian restaurants.
All right, joining us now on the Callan Capital Hotline is Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt. Good morning, Joel. Is this our first talk with you at home this entire season?
Yes, exactly. This is the first time that I'm actually talking at 7:30 in the morning with you at 7:30 in the morning.
We made you wake up early for us.
I know.
Today.
He's usually like in the middle of Oklahoma or something,
right.
And now you're in beautiful Newport Beach, California.
I heard it's raining down
there. No doubt.
It's been a little dreary for it.
It was raining yesterday. It rained all day yesterday. So, but it's good for us as long as there's no mudslides. So hopefully all those burn areas, that's where the danger is. So hopefully everyone's safe.
All right, Joel, let's get to it. Let's just start with your alma mater, Colorado. Sell us on Mel Tucker. What do you know about the guy?
Well, I've actually never met Mel, but I know a lot of guys that have played for him, both at the college level and in the NFL. He's got extensive experience. Nick Saban has hired him 3 times, so I think that, I mean, that should tell you something. He coached with him at Michigan State and LSU and then again at Alabama. He was the one guy that Kirby Smart said that he had to have when he left and went to Georgia. He's a pretty good recruiter. In fact, he's already flipped one kid that was committed to Georgia, a 4-star corner from the Florida area, in the state of Florida. And so he's going to be coming to Colorado. Mel is a guy that connects with and really motivates players. And I've had a teammate of mine, Brian Iwu, who, played for Mel in the National Football League. And he said that Mel was one of the best coaches that he ever had, both from a personal standpoint and from a fundamental standpoint. So when I hear things like that, I get excited. And Colorado certainly is a place that I feel like should be better than what they have been in the last decade. And hopefully Mel is the type of guy that can instill some sort of toughness and ruggedness back to the program, in particular at the lines of scrimmage, and hopefully get them back to a point where they're competing for the division championship. I know they won it a couple of years ago, but let's face it, that was kind of a one-off in what has been 12 years of an immense struggle. So hopefully he can get us back to the point where they're competing at least on a year-in, year-out basis for a division championship.
So, Joe, we were talking earlier just before you came on about just kind of the Pac-12 as a whole. We were looking at there was a picture of Garner Minshew last night that had the Washington State Huskies under his name and just the conference as a whole. I know there's been more articles that have come out in a group of what the conference needs to do. Just your take on the conference thus far this year and looking at it and how you think their bowl matchups stack up. And is this one of those make or break again for the Pac-12 where you don't make it in college football playoff 2 years in a row and now you're having scrutiny with Larry Scott? Is there a fix on the horizon for the conference?
Well, I will say that I think it's much worse for the conference than a guy like Ed Ray is acknowledging. He's the president at Oregon State, part of the Pac-12 CEO group, and candidly, one of the main problems with the conference because he is a guy that wants to bury his head in the sand and just talk about theory. And in theory, the actions of the conference have made it better and stronger over the last 5 and 6 years, but that's all it has been is theory. In reality, it is incredibly weak, and it is 5th out of 5 in almost every metric that you can possibly measure in college football, whether it's performance on the field, revenue off the field, perception off the field, on the field, I mean, all of it. And I think that's a frustrating thing for fans. I think that's a really frustrating thing for athletic directors and coaches. That's part of the issue. I don't know if you guys saw some of those things that came out. I think it was yesterday. Ed Ray's communication and this and that. And he was talking about that basically it was just the, it was his version of like, hey, it's just the fake news media that right. feels this way. And it's like, no, your own athletic directors feel this way. I would go out on a limb and say that the most upset people about what the conference has done and is doing are the athletic directors. They are beside themselves right now that they have been stripped from power by that Pac-12 CEO group and that Larry Scott doesn't answer to them at all. And candidly, this conference is in dire straits right now. They have got to fix some things and fix it fast, and it's not going to be just wins on the football field. I know you asked about this bowl season, and certainly it would help if they were able to go out there and play better on the field and get some wins and do better than 1-8, which I can guarantee you they're going to do better than 1-8 because they only got 7 bowls.
Yeah, right.
So, right.
You know, I mean, they're not going to lose 8 bowl games. There's a positive on that side.
Oh, they could find a way.
This conference is in a bad way right now, and they need to fix it. And again, the problem is that the commissioner, he acts on theory, and the Pac-12 CEO group, they act on theory. And one of the major issues is because they are born from academia, and academia is based almost 100% on theory and not reality. And that's a huge problem. And so in theory, when Larry Scott says to these guys, hey, look, we own 100% of our media company and we're a media company, and they're like, oh, man, that sounds great. But owning 100% of $10 is much worse than owning 49% of $100.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, guys, I'm not very smart, and I can figure that out. And these guys, I think, are smarter than me and can't. And that's a problem.
Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, is our guest. You know, you mentioned the Ed Ray comments in that John Wilner article. Right below it, though, is Kirk Schultz of Washington State, who says, why don't we do what Arizona did and actually embrace the media and kind of try to work with them? How do you, the Pac-12, Ed Ray's basically saying, stick the middle finger up and say, we're not going to listen to you. You cover the rest of the country, the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12. Do you see that there is a disconnect from the universities themselves and the outlets that cover them in the Pac-12 as opposed to those other conferences you travel around and see?
Oh, there's no doubt. And it's much more difficult from my perspective. As someone just covering games, it's much more difficult to cover the Pac-12 just because, you know, their practices are such that they're very snooty, guys. You know, I mean, the nose is in the air a lot in the Pac-12 about just how prestigious their universities are and what they do versus what other people do. Then you go to some of the biggest and best programs in the country, and you walk in there on a Friday, and they almost don't let you leave. It's like, can we do anything else for you? Do you need any more information? Do you need any other players? Do you want to talk to any other coaches? What can we do to help you make this broadcast better? Right. What can we do to help you have more information so that you can speak about our program and our university in a positive light? What the good ones, that's the way they approach it. And then in the Pac-12, that's just not the way they approach it. It started to get a little better this year. We had essentially kind of a come to Jesus meeting, a lot of the media partners and all the SIDs. And I feel really bad for these SIDs, because in large part these SIDs are just doing what is handed down from above.
Mm-hmm.
And these coaches can act like little dictators, and you know, at times we get very little to zero access to these programs. And so when you go out there to broadcast a game, you don't have a ton of information about these teams from a backstory perspective. And what ends up happening is you can speculate, you know, you're not necessarily on their side. I fully, fully believe that was part of the problem last year when that crew from ESPN mm-hmm. took some shots at one of the schools in the conference. And I think part of it is frustration from our side that we're not given what we feel like we need in order to do the game, the players, and the program a service during those broadcasts.
So essentially you're saying the conference needs to be more inclusive than exclusive, right? I mean, if you're thinking of it that way.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah,
yeah, there's no doubt.
Do you kind of think, I mean, you live on the West Coast now, too. I mean, I do. I mean, I've, after playing in the South and then playing in the East Coast and in the Midwest, is it a personality? Is it a culture here that we look at from the Pac-12?
Yes. Everything is about culture, and the culture around the universities in the Pac-12 is that football at some of these places is not the most important thing. Which is fine. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I am saying though that can be problematic within that arena, right? I mean, when you go to some of these other places, I can tell you this right now. When we go to Columbus, Ohio, you know the number one thing in Columbus, Ohio? Ohio State football.
Yeah.
You know, and yep. You know, Oklahoma's this way, and Texas is this way, and Michigan is this way, and Michigan State is this way. I mean, all of them, you know, to a T. And it's not that way when we come to these places on the West Coast. And I think it is, a lot of it is cultural. A lot of it is elitist, to be honest with you.
I agree 100%.
Yep.
They want to hold their chest out and talk about their rowing championships and their, you know, volleyball championships and all this. And it's like Conference of Champions. When it comes to football, the Pac-12 is the furthest thing from the Conference of Championships that you can possibly get.
Yeah.
Bingo. Joel Klatt on the Callan Capital Hotline, joining us, Fox Sports college football analyst. I want to ask you really quick about a coaching hire out here on the West Coast. What do you think of Cliff Kingsbury at USC? I think the dude is going to be lights out with that talent he's got in L.A.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think that he's one of the best offensive minds, you know, in college football. I think it just didn't work out for him at Texas Tech for a number of different reasons. And it would take a long time to discuss all of those. I will say that he does have the talent. They don't have the offensive line necessarily. I think that they've got to recruit better on the offensive line, get tougher on the offensive line. But they should certainly be better on offense. They've got a quarterback and a wide receiver core that I think could put up, you know, massive, massive numbers and productivity. And I think that's going to help USC in a big way, because part of the problem was that their offense was so predictable and so inept at times, even with quality talent, that they had a hard time overcoming some of those schematic deficiencies. And this should, I mean, this should do big things for USC and in turn, maybe the conference, because that's also part of the problem, is that your biggest brand has got to be your biggest brand, if you know what I'm saying. You know, the NBA is better when LeBron James is the best player. The Big 12 is better when Oklahoma and Texas are the best teams, and you can say the same about the Big 10. And I'm not saying it's not bad when other teams are also good. I'm just saying that it's really hard for those other teams to carry their conference from a perception standpoint. So I think that the Pac-12 needs USC to get much better, and they should be better with Cliff as their offensive coordinator.
Okay, this is here my final question for you. Last night, there's some good awards. Tua, are you a Tua or a Kyler guy? That's my first part of the question. And secondly, if Tua is still hurt, can they beat Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts, but not Clemson, if they can make it by that first game?
So I think that Alabama could beat Oklahoma either way. I think Oklahoma has a much better shot if Jalen is the quarterback, because they become a little bit more one-dimensional. The problem with Oklahoma is that I think Alabama could hand it off 50 times and still score 45 points.
Oh, boy.
You know, I don't think that they've... Oklahoma is just so inept tackling and just overall defensively. But that's a game I can't wait to watch, because I am a Kyler guy.
Yeah.
I think what he is doing is exceptional. I base my vote on one very simple question. If I was a head coach and I had the first pick, who am I taking? That's Kyler Murray, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing something that's never been done before in the history of the sport, averaging over 300 yards passing and over 60 yards rushing per game. And what he did, and let me also just say this. If you knocked Kyler Murray out of the game and you had the lead over Oklahoma, it's over. It's over. You win that game. Georgia knocked Tua out of the game, had the lead, and then lost.
Lost.
All I'm saying is that, like, that factors into my vote.
Okay.
No, it makes all the difference in the world. I agree completely.
Winning the Heisman tomorrow. Yeah. Did you, wait, do you have a vote?
I do, so you can't tell anybody that I just told you.
It's okay. Nobody listens to the show anyways.
Nobody cares.
Joel, keep fighting the good fight on social media, Joel, as well. I saw your Twitter spat earlier this week, and I got a kick out of it. So thank you, Joel.
Great stuff. Yeah. Yeah, listen, sometimes you just got to end people's, internet day. And that's what I did that day.
You win.
Joel Klatt, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
If you missed it, he got into it with Clay Travis. It was a heck of a deal.
Spectacular.
All right. Joel Klatt every week brought to you by 808, the Titan of Hawaiian restaurants, and always on the Catlin Capital Hotline.